The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I don't wish death on nobody, but come on. Let's get it right before we don't get any more time to do it right. So let's sing the song. Y'all ready? Let's go.
He gave New Yorkers 1 hour, 2 hours notice. Stevie Wonder, the great Stevie Wonder, performing in Central Park yesterday, live, spontaneously almost, promoting a tour that will take him here to Madison Square Garden. Have you ever seen him live?
I have. He's fantastic.
Fabulous man. Wonderful man. Did a concert for me for the cause, for the Willowbrook cause. Ran with him in Central Park for the same cause, different agency. A wonderful, wonderful man, big-hearted person, a wonderful performer yesterday. Thrilling New Yorkers, and he's coming here to the Garden?
Yeah, November 24th, this Song in the Keys of Life tour. So
he's just a magnificent person. How he does it, I mean, I don't know. It's all magic to me, how he gets around, he's a wonderful guy. I mean, he could tell a beautiful woman, and I don't know how. And I've been around him, and I've seen it.
Maybe it's the scent of a woman.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. That certainly is other senses that kick in. But to be that discerning.
Like you were with him and he could see an attractive woman from an okay woman?
There were people there.
Right.
And he picked out and he never had met them before.
Right.
I said, this dude has radar.
Maybe he's been fooling us all these years.
But he thrilled. Eric and Lydia, Alex's parents, went yesterday. So he babysat for Sol's friend. Alex, last night, they went to the concert. We could hear it from the window. It was so, so cool. I love that about New York. And there he was spontaneously. Larger than life, Stevie Wonder. And speaking of which, in the court yesterday or on the steps of the courthouse after jury duty, this is what it sounded like.
What would you like to succeed you on The Apprentice?
Oh, I don't know. Is it replaceable? They're having an awfully hard time.
Do you think that you drove Megyn Kelly into hiding?
You'll have to ask her.
Are you Batman?
I am Batman.
All right, so a montage of answers from Trump. It was Elvis has just left the building. The crush of press was amazing. So Donald Trump emerging from jury duty yesterday in downtown New York. He converted his civic duty into an enormous campaign event. And before I get into the substance of some of the other things that he said, whatever it is he is saying, and, you know, we debated it on The Five yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but it is quite heated. Obviously, the immigration policy and all the rest of it. Whatever it is he is saying is apparently working with potential Republican primary voters. Another new poll out this morning showing Trump ascendant. And the man we all thought would be the presumptive front runner for the GOP nomination, Jeb Bush, fading. Yesterday, you heard the Fox News poll that had Trump at 25, Carson a distant second at 12. Today, the rival CNN poll is out. And what is interesting, given the fact that they come from such different places ideologically, the arithmetic works out basically the same. CNN has Trump on top, surging from 18% up to 24%. So, yeah, Fox has Trump at 25. CNN has him at 24. This poll, the CNN poll, has Bush in distant second place, fading from the last time he had 15, now down to 13, which is a little better than Fox had him at 9. Dr. Ben Carson in both polls moving up. CNN has Carson in third place, going from a mere 4% up to 9%. So CNN and Fox agree that Carson's right around 9, 10%. Trump, 24, 25% among the potential GOP primary voters. Obviously, has to be apparent to everybody, part of Trump's appeal is definitely his hard line toward immigrants. Immigrants, you could either call unauthorized, that's the most benign characterization, undocumented, which is the one I prefer, or illegal. Illegal aliens, a particularly noxious phrase, in my opinion. I want it banned. But depending on your point of view, you know who I'm talking about. And before I get into that other thing I want to talk about today, something Trump said yesterday that I sort of agree with. I'll just give you a hint. It's those multi-million dollar settlements that New York and many other major cities, but New York particularly generously, doles out to those falsely or flimsily accused. And very specifically, Trump talking about the Central Park Five, those former teenagers who did hard time for notoriously raping the female jogger. Well, I want to get to that, but before I delve into that and the city's settlements, which have become particularly generous under Mayor Bill de Blasio, I want to go back to what Trump said about immigration. The New York Times had a, just bear with me, I know many of you disagree with me on this, but I just want you to read or hear what Julia Preston writes in the Times today. Some of Trump's proposals are based on assertions that have been broadly debunked. He portrayed undocumented Mexican immigrants as uneducated criminals who've been living off hundreds of billions, that's a quote, American taxpayer dollars for their health care and education. But Julia writes, scholarly research has shown that undocumented immigrants are much more reluctant to use public health care than Americans, and billions of dollars of Social Security taxes they have paid for benefits they cannot collect have shored up the dwindling funds of the system. Julia goes on to say, and this is an interesting point that I did not mention yesterday, you have Trump saying that the Mexican immigrants particularly are criminals who are blood-sucking off the fiscal tit of America. May I mix my metaphors there? Anyway, according to Julia, despite the drug war, the bloody drug war that has raged in Mexico in the last 5 years, noticeably little violence has spilled over into the United States, with several border cities, she doesn't mention, but El Paso being one of them, being among the safest cities in the nation. So I just agree with that. And I think that the bottom line, as a Republican, the bottom line with this, Julia goes on to say, and I believe it firmly as a moderate Republican, that Republicans cannot win without the Latino vote. And I don't know how Trump, with this plan that has such a hostile approach to Mexicans and Mexican-Americans, of which there are 35 million in the United States of America born in Mexico or claiming Mexican ancestry, 35 million, the fastest growing group of new voters. Fastest growing group of new voters. I mean, how do you win alienating the fastest group of new voters for no real reason? I'll take a couple of calls to clean that up, but I want to get into, this point that I do agree with Trump on, these huge settlements. And I'm going to give you a heads up. Kubi is on one side of it. Curtis is on the other side of that. Curtis and the Guardian Angels have restarted their patrols of Central Park because of a couple of recent rapes there. So I want to talk. This thing that Trump said about the settlement in the Central Park Five case, I think, has especially resonant today. But let me take a couple of calls to clean up the immigration debates that are still raging. Obviously, I had it on the Five yesterday, and then on Charles Payne's show on Fox Business. I'll just take a couple of questions on the immigration or statements, comments on the immigration at 866-ORALDO, 866-437-2536. And then I want to move on to these multi-million dollar settlements and what you think of them. First in Westchester, Diane. Hi, Diane. What's up?
Good morning, Geraldo.
Thanks so much for calling me.
I have experience with numerous illegal aliens in Westchester County.
Okay, what's happened to you?
About 75% of them have children, have babies, born in the United States.
Okay.
When that happens, the parents and the child go on Medicaid, which we pay for.
Right, the children they get also, the Medicaid benefits, not the parents.
No, the parents also get Medicaid.
I don't think that's true, Diane, but continue your point about your firsthand experiences.
Also, they get daycare to take care of that baby while, because social services gets involved. Another thing, I was in court with one illegal alien on 5 occasions.
Well, what was the issue?
The issue was he was arrested. I wanted to hear his case. I sat there for 3 hours on each of the 5 occasions. Over 80% of the individuals appearing before the judge required a translator. We are paying so much money for these illegal aliens. Then we go on to what it costs to...
Wait, Diane, can I give you I have to ask you a question because, you know, we talk about people and their normal experiences, and I appreciate your sincerity. But you felt the need to appear in court 5 times. It seems a little unusual for your intense. What was it that the illegal alien, in your phrase, did to you? Or what was it about what he, I guess it's a he, did that so irked you that you felt that you would commit so much of your time and energy to this case?
He didn't irk me. I have great respect for him.
The illegal?
Yes. He worked for a contractor that I was best friends with who passed away. We have kind of taken him under our wing, trying to guide him. It was out of concern and love that I appeared.
Oh, how interesting.
But it's just getting ridiculous.
So you were rooting for him, in essence, but what you saw in the court was offensive, the use of public services by these non-citizens.
Exactly. And this individual did have a child in the United States. When that child resided in his home, he was eligible for Medicaid.
And what happened to him in the case?
It was reduced to a misdemeanor, but now he has to go through umpteen hoops because there is a protective order against him from seeing his child. And he's going to all of the courses, everything, trying to reunite with his child.
How is he paying for his defense, and how is he paying for his, you know, his life? What does he do?
He works under the table. And that's the other thing. They get paid about anywhere from...
Why do you care about this person? Just curious.
Because a very close friend of mine cared about him.
I gotcha. Okay, Diane, thank you for the lovely call. I mean, you really seem like a very sensitive person.
The other thing, too, is we talk about them getting paid $13 to $15 an hour.
Yeah.
That's all under the table. Gross that up to what?
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Many of them pay taxes, but it's a lot of money that doesn't go to the treasury, and you're absolutely right, Diane, about that. You know, it's 19 minutes after 10 o'clock, and I the lines always blast out when I talk about immigration. I don't want to get stuck on it today. I'll take some more of the calls after the break, but I do want to move on to these multi-million dollar settlements that this and these other cities dole out, and whether or not you think that the $41 million, that's what Trump talked about yesterday, to the 5 teenagers who were convicted, you know, some say falsely, others say that the evidence was there and the convictions justified. But we paid out, the city paid out $41 million to them without admitting anything wrong with their pursuit of the Central Park rapists or attackers or kids who were wilding. And it's 26 minutes after 10 o'clock, buttoning up this whole discussion of Trump on immigration. Then I want to move on. Curtis Sliwa on CNN right now talking about the renewed patrols. Yeah, let's hit it.
Detroit, we go right on down the list and right around the world. But those cities have had a tremendous spike in crime. New York was the safest city, large city in America for 20 years. First with Rudy Giuliani
but
and then Bloomberg.
It's still very safe in New York City.
Well, you know, in the hood. And I'm a hood rat. So when you go into the projects and in 1 week alone, 9 women were shot. I'm 61. At no time, as bad as it's ever been in the city, were 9 women ever shot in the city. And this mayor, with window shades on his eyes, cotton balls in his ears, oblivious. He said, why are you getting hysterical, Curtis? Hysterical because I love this city and I don't want it to return to the criminals.
All right, so it's Curtis Lee. We're talking about the renewed patrols in Central Park. And I'll get into the most notorious of all Central Park cases, one that caused me to move from the East 96th Street to Monmouth County with my family at the time. Let me go to Ronald in New Jersey. What's up, Ronald?
Yeah, before I let you guys start just beating up on black people, I want to just say something.
Go ahead, Ronald.
I'm a black guy, so I have to stick up for them just as well as you're Hispanic, so you're going to stick up for the illegal aliens.
Okay, go ahead.
But what I have to say is the Central Park joggers, let's not start the conversation like they got to quit it or because of some technicality. DNA got those gentlemen acquitted, and they did 10 years in prison.
Right. They were not acquitted, but they were released on time served after the years after the DNA of that. The guy was found, the Hispanic guy, Mateus. They were released, but the city specifically said, Ronald, that the city said that they absolutely did everything right, the prosecutors and the cops. The fact is that they believed that the 5 who were convicted were part of that Wilding group. It was a gang bang, but...
I understand that. But the 10 years, I'm an attorney as well. The 10 years that they did was not for Wilding. It was for rape. So they got acquitted of the rape charge.
No, they were never acquitted. They were never acquitted. I just want to make that clear. The city said that it was the moral obligation to right an injustice, the injustice being the one you described, that they were charged with rape, but the DNA was found of another person. The convictions were never reversed. They were released on time served.
Okay, and the person, the perpetrator, was Hispanic.
He was, indeed, absolutely.
Okay, and there's another Hispanic.
And one of the 5 was also Hispanic.
I don't know if he's illegal, but Donald Trump's going to latch on to
Mateus. Mateus Reyes was the one whose DNA was found.
Exactly. So let's not make this like it's 5 black people that raped somebody.
It was 4 black men and 1 Hispanic who settled the case with the city.
Yes, but there was a Hispanic that actually did the rape.
That was the Hispanic, Mateus Reyes, whose DNA was found. He actually did the rape. And the other 5, it wasn't. It was Antron McRae, Kevin Richardson, Yusef Salam, Raymond Santana. They spent 7 years in prison. They each got $7.125 million. The 5th man, Karey Wise, served 13 years. He got $12.25 million.
Well deserved.
The money. Despite the fact that the prosecutors and the cops say that they were correct and that they did it. That's what Trump's is saying now. That's what I want to get to. Trump is, the Trump statement is that, in his eyes, what the city did was ridiculously, grotesquely generous. I'll get to that after Gnome's News. Minutes after 10 o'clock. All right, let me talk about Trump, what Trump said in this about these multi-million-dollar settlements and specifically about the Central Park 5, the guys who did hard time, teenagers, 14 to 16 years old at the time. They did hard time from 7 to 12 years for notoriously raping. They were convicted for raping that female jogger, the attack on the jogger. I lived at 96th and Madison at the time. And so we had a big dog, Spike, a Labrador, that if I wasn't home, my wife would walk right there, the jogging path where the 28-year-old investment banker was raped, brutally raped, almost murdered, almost killed obviously just, like a quarter of a mile away. So I started, when I was walking the dog, I wouldn't let my wife walk the dog anymore at night. And then I started walking around armed. It's how freaky it was. Then ultimately I decided it just wasn't worth it because I was too worried because I was always on the road, leaving her alone. It started the process where we ultimately ended up in Monmouth County living in the beautiful old Victorian house that we restored out there. But I lived in Jersey. That was my move to Jersey, 89, 90. And I stayed an official resident of New Jersey until just a few months ago, where I moved my voter registration finally from Bergen County, where I had moved after a divorce, and then back into New York. But, I mean, that's how big this was. This changed the city. Were you in the city in 89?
No, I was not.
But, there's a corporate memory of this this terrible case. So you had the kids, 14 to 16. They made incriminating statements. There was a big argument about whether or not the statement should be admitted. They were admitted. Two trials, the kids all convicted, 1990. And at the time, Trump took out a huge front page newspaper ad or big newspaper ad, a full page in the Daily News, which today reviews it. And I guess it's the Daily News with Stephen Rex Brown as the reporter who talked to Trump or got a quote from Trump about what, this settlement and whether he would have done anything differently. Trump taking out this front page newspaper ad that called for return to tough justice in New York City, including the death penalty. At that time, the woman was teetering. We didn't know whether she would live or die. And on Monday, just yesterday, after jury duty, Trump said that if he was mayor, he would not have given the Central Park Five a dime. And now remember, the agreement had no admission of wrongdoing from the city. In fact, the city, as Stephen Rex Brown writes, denied and continues to deny that it and the individually named defendants, including Ray Kelly and Bloomberg, had committed any violations of law, engaged in any wrongful acts concerning or related to, the settlement, they said, should not be construed as an acknowledgement that these convictions of the five were the result of law enforcement misconduct. On the contrary, our review of the record suggests that both the investigating detectives and the assistant district attorneys involved in the case acted reasonably given the circumstances. De Blasio settled the case anyway. Bloomberg refused to settle it. Bo Daedle knows about this case. He's on the line. Are you outraged, Bo? You think Trump was right with what he said yesterday?
I'm 100% back of Donald. When this thing happened, first of all, Mike Sheehan worked on it. He was an ex-partner of mine, the detective. Linda Fairstein was the DA. A lot of people don't realize they were wilding. They were robbing. There's nothing said that they didn't rob her and beat her up. Now, what happened was the Spanish guy came along after the fact, after she was beat up, and he consummated his orgasm, and that was the DNA that was found in there. My problem is they may have tried to rape her, but when this guy's DNA was found in there, all of a sudden, oops, they didn't do anything. They went and gave him $50 million. They want another $50 million. Now I pick up the paper, a guy who was on video shooting at the cops gets shot. He wants $20 million, his family. I mean, when does this ridiculousness stop? These were no good altar boys. These were a bunch of punks with criminal records who were robbing people in the park.
All right, so Trump is right. Does he do it for you, law enforcement-wise? Does Trump do it for you? Do you like his positions?
I like Donald Trump. I like what he's saying about the ISIS. I like what he's saying about everything. He's a guy that gets it done. Look, let's face it. He builds the greatest buildings. He gets things done. The golf course, the skating rink, he gets it done. And you know what he'll do good? He'll do good with the Democrats and Republicans in Washington. He'll bring these knuckleheads together because the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. They get nothing done. Their approval rating is about 5% in Congress. We need a president, a leader, not this other guy who's over in Martha's Vineyard, a guy who's going to be there, get this country straightened out, get us be proud of America again. You know, Ronald, we're down on the dumps right now. We're not America the Great. We're America the Loser. Everyone's looking at us, treating us like we're a bunch of punks here. I'm going to start something, and you're going to hear it first on my radio. I'm starting a website, Bo's Pick for a Better New York. I want to find a guy to replace Big Bird, because this guy's a fool. Like our president's a fool on the national level, he's a fool for our city. I need our city strong. I need to support the cops. I want to get all this crap off the street. Let people walk. Crime is up 100% in Central Park. Do you know that? All of a sudden, everybody thinks that all these statistics mean garbage. Walk around the city, you see what's going on. Everyone's blind to this, Robert. We've got to band together, clean this city up, and support our cops. And every time someone does a crime, they want to sue the cops. And the big bird, oh, we better settle. We better settle nonsense. Go take it to court. If the cops did something wrong, then you prosecute, and then you fine them. But if they did their job the way they're supposed, you don't give money out to these people.
The one and only Bo Dito. Thanks, Bo. I love you. Dave in New Jersey, you want to comment on what Bo just said?
Oh, I agree with Bo Dito 1,010%. You know, I've always admired his work. You know, Geraldo, this settlement for these five punks who went on that wilding spree, this was clearly pandering to racial hustle big time. You know, I remember when the poor lady was attacked in Central Park. It was my second year as an active member of CORE, and the only people from the black community who went to visit this poor lady were the two secretaries that worked in Roy Innes' office at that time, while the rest of our so-called leaders were making excuses and aiding and abetting these criminals.
All right, Dave, I appreciate that call. Thank you very much. Deborah in New York. What's up, Deborah? Thank you for calling.
Hi, Geraldo. What I don't understand is these young men were not, they did not rape this woman, and you keep trying to stir up something. And I want to know, first
I just knew
all,
Trump was talking about it yesterday. It's not me stirring it.
Don't make me, don't do a U-turn on me. Just, I waited for you. Give me some respect.
Go ahead, Deb.
What is wilding? Because I've never heard of that until the media put it out.
Well, why? I can answer if you'd like.
And why did you walk through the park without a licensed gun when that young man said hello to you, and you said, when you thought about what you could have done to him,
I
you could have shot somebody's son.
You're
not going to be satisfied if something comes to your house. Because you, I don't know how you live with yourself. You get on the radio every day, and if it's not Trump, something to keep you busy. They put you on this thing, and you just keep going after black people. I don't know what your problem is. Black people have been very, very good to you throughout your career.
But I don't know why you say that. Deborah, that is such an insult, and it's such a false. That's such a falsity. That is such a falsity. You should be ashamed of yourself making a statement like that. Not based in fact, just based on your own prejudices. It really is. You insult me. You insult my life of good work.
Well, you know, since you want to break up everything in terms of Latino and black.
I'm talking about something that the leading candidate for president said about a settlement that's very controversial. May not be with you.
He won't even go to Central Park. He won't even walk through Central Park.
Oh, I walk through Central Park every day. Every day. Or ride my bicycle through it.
Nobody's going to snatch you.
No one's going to snatch anybody. Curtis Lee was there at the Guardian Angels.
Everybody went through a whole lot because of that nonsense.
All right, well, you know, should they have gotten $1 million when they were wilding?
They should have got $50 million apiece after what they've gone
through.
Got
plenty. All right, Deb. All right. So, Rick, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Geraldo, it was interesting to listen to that woman talk about the translators in the courtroom. You know, I live here in Madison, New Jersey. If you go to... You can walk into any courtroom in America and observe what's going on there. And in the 70s, you would have people in there with the last names like Green and Washington. Now, overwhelmingly, from parking tickets and driving without a license, driving without insurance, to burglary, robbery, rape, etc., you name the crime, and the last name is Gutierrez, Rivera, Hernandez. So don't say and push the propaganda from the New York Times that our federal, state, and local criminal justice system and jails are not filled with people who are here from South America and Mexico. Don't push that lie.
Well, Rick, thank you for your statements. People beating me up. I tell you the truth. It is beyond controversy that undocumented immigrants commit fewer crimes than citizens. That's beyond controversy. How you feel about it, how you feel about them, just how the lady just called seems so much a function of your own personal biases. Anthony Imperiale is on the phone. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Geraldo, I just want to say, you know, I've known you for a long time. My dad's known you. You know what? You're the first one to run out there and come to the aid of any minority, especially blacks, and Spanish. I have never, never, I don't, there was never an ounce of racism in you. You've gotten, people have given you so much crap for things you have done for the black community and the Latino community. And I just want to say you have been unfairly treated by that woman.
I appreciate that, Anthony. Thank you for calling. I needed that. So what Trump said, welcome back. What Trump said about the settlement in Central Park, the Central Park Five, the $41 million, they should be very thankful I wasn't mayor because they wouldn't have gotten a dime. They owe the taxpayers of New York City an apology for taking money out of their pockets like a candy from a baby. And he noted that they confessed initially she was in terrible shape. All right, he goes on. I'm obviously not looking for the death penalty. She didn't die. But Ken Burns, who co-directed the Central Park Five documentary, didn't escape Trump's ire. Writes Stephen Rex Brown in the Daily News. He's a guy I like for his work in the Civil War, but not for his work on Central Park Five, which I thought was a one-sided sham, Trump said. Okay, let me go. William. Hi, William. Yeah. What's up? What are you thinking about?
Hey, Geraldo.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I listen to your show every morning on the way in. I'm a New York City police officer. I'm new to the job, and I love the job. It's the best city in the world.
Thank you for your service, man.
You know, thank you. I live up in Westchester. I could have been up there. Instead, I choose to be in the city. It's the best place ever. I was talking to your call screener, and I'm going to stick up for you. That woman who called in before, I think she's just a perfect example of people who don't have all the information and who just want to throw the blame on somebody else.
Man, she beat me up. Black woman said that I was a racist because I'm telling this story.
Geraldo, I tell you, there's mornings I listen to you, I'm cursing at the radio. There's things you say that boil my blood. Because sometimes I think you're defending people too much. I think the problem that we have right now, and I see this firsthand as a police officer in the city, we're handcuffed by political correctness, and we're handcuffed by this whole mindset that I can do whatever I want, whether it's right or wrong, and I'm going to get rewarded for it.
What do you think about that cop who got pistol whipped because he wouldn't shoot the perp coming onto him because he was afraid he is a white cop that... You know, the minority perp would be on the front page if he did anything wrong to him.
I think it's sad that we're at that state. I think it's sad that we've gotten to that point in law enforcement. Nobody's going to be safe if people keep second-guessing themselves. You're going to have nervous police officers. You're going to have nervous citizens.
William, got to go. I'm out of time, buddy. Thank you very much for the support.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips, no new taxes.
George H.W. Bush running against Mike Dukakis, Vice President Bush, famously saying, read my lips, no new taxes. A lot of people think he was defeated 4 years later when he, after he had raised taxes, despite his very unequivocal pledge there. A good man, a decent man. Read my lips, no new taxes, though sealed his own political fate, some say. Today's also, I just want to note for the record, Roberto Clemente's 81st birthday. Had he lived, the All-Star Hall of Famer, the outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, famous Puerto Rican baseball player, perhaps the most famous ever. He died, one of my first foreign assignments, 1972, the plane crash. He was taking aid from Puerto Rico to Nicaragua. We've spoken of it before, to respond to a devastating earthquake. The plane overloaded, the cargo inadequately secured, the plane crashing right off San Juan. So one of the all-time greats, if not the all-time great Puerto Rican athlete, Roberto Clemente, the outfielder, died. He was admitted to the Hall of Fame despite the fact he had not had 5 years eligibility. And the only other play in the major leagues that happened to is the Yankee great Lou Gehrig. So Roberto Clemente, remembering him. All right, I got beat up. Black lady doesn't like my views, accused me of racism, really hurt my feelings. But I want to take a couple calls on that, and then I'm moving on. Tim in Newark, what's up, Tim?
Hey, how's it going, Rondo? I listen to your show pretty often, a lot of the times. I don't know if you remember me. I called a couple of months back. I told you about the video of Corridor Pain when you were doing the Baltimore, you know, situation and all that and everything.
Right. I remember you, Tim.
All right. I was calling because, you know, I hear these people call up and they always bashing you, you know, saying you're racist and all that. I'm a I'm a black person, you know what I mean? Well, brown person, technically. And I'm like, I just hear all these people saying how much you're a racist and all that. Honestly, and then when I listen to the shows later on, besides Curtis and Kubi, shout out to 77 WABC. I think y'all got the best talk radio. And then, like, I get into Mike Savage and, you know, here, then I mean, I'm not saying that they're racist or nothing, but, I mean, you're pretty much down the plate, you know, and I'm not, you know, kissing you behind or nothing like that, but from all the other guys, you know, they just rhetoric, you call it, you know, pretty much down the plate, even, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that. I really do, you know? Tim. Right down the plate. I like that expression. That's what I try to do. I appreciate you, Cole. I appreciate it.
And there's just one last thing.
Go ahead.
And it's not to bash, you know, black or brown people, but it's crazy how you hear about, like, I understand the Black Lives Matter situation and all that, and I'm not here to bash they, whatever they got going on. It's just how I see in the urban communities, you know, it's no secret. Everybody know from New York, Newark, Chicago, Baltimore, L.A., you know, the urban communities. I mean, it's poor, bad conditions and everything. There's no excuse on nobody's part. You know, I'm not trying to say it's because of this person's fault, white person, all that. You know, it's bad economic times pretty much for everybody. I truly believe all lives matter. That's just my philosophical thoughts on everybody.
I got you. I got you, man. I,
you know what I mean?
Love to have a beer with you someday, Tim. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. You know, he brings up a good point about Black Lives Matter. Who is Black Lives Matter affecting with their confrontational politics? First, it was O'Malley, the liberal Democrat in Maryland. Then it was Bernie Sanders, the socialist candidate. They got him when he was trying to speak in New Hampshire. And then yesterday it was Hillary Clinton. You see that? So they're going after people who are their natural allies, it seems to me, with this in-your-face kind of approach and that sentiment. It just, it makes me, it's an icky feeling, I tell you. Let me go, Anthony in New Jersey. What's up?
Hey, Robert, this is Marine Tony from the VFW in Fort Lee.
Hey, how's it going? Right down the block where I voted all those years. Well, what's up?
Yeah, listen, pay no mind to that lady. You did more humanitarian services than anybody. I just want to say, I want to nominate you. You should be the mayor of New York. Bodine will be a deputy mayor.
All right, I like that.
You are good people, you know.
I thank you. I appreciate that. Everybody's welcome. Everybody, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but everybody's welcome. I got to move on. We got a big story developing. Guess what? The biggest issue is in the first primary state in the nation, New Hampshire, when these candidates go and they make their speeches. Put aside the economy. That's always number one. What's the number two issue, most pressing issue in New Hampshire? Rural, skiing, camping, beautiful, Granite State, live free or die, New Hampshire.
I don't know. Moose crossings. I have no idea.
Heroin.
Really?
Heroin. And don't you have some information about the heroin epidemic?
The epidemic is not only bad in New Hampshire, it's really across the country, but here in the tri-state, the numbers are really unbelievable. I was talking with somebody at the Drug Enforcement Agency's New York Field Division, and they were saying that the heroin epidemic in New York City is worse today than it was 30, 40 years ago when you, as a reporter, were walking into those drug dens all over the city. Worse, much worse. 420 people died from drug overdose, heroin overdoses in 2013. Those are the last firm statistics we have. But the amount of drugs they're taking off the streets, unbelievable. 2,000 pounds in 2014. And they're on pace now to do much more than that. And I want you to know, 2,000 pounds equals 30 million heroin doses.
Wow.
30 million. So it has like a $300 million value. And it tells you how many people in New York City are addicted to heroin today. We don't have a firm number, obviously, but they're saying much, much worse than it was in the 1970s.
I did the drug crisis in East Harlem on 100th Street, East 100th Street. It's all gone now. They tore it down. It's all housing now. But East 100th Street was like the worst block in the Western world. Drug crisis in East Harlem, my first Columbia DuPont Award. Diane Diamond's won a bunch of awards. Veteran TV correspondent, syndicated columnist, writing about crime and justice. And she's been investigating this whole new heroin epidemic. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hey, my friend. How are you? I'm great.
Big kiss to you. So what'd you find?
Well, I found exactly what your news guy just said, that it is nationwide, that there isn't a community that hasn't been touched by it. I found some research you're talking about in New Hampshire. In Vermont, the governor there gave a speech not long ago, and he said, listen up, give me more money for treatment, not drug interdiction, but for treatment, because it costs $1,120 a week to keep a drug addict in prison. To treat them, it's $123. You do the math. So that's bucolic Vermont, where you move to so your kids are safe, you know. There's no place safe in America, Geraldo, and some of the addicts of heroin are 12 years old.
And 12 years old? So why did heroin suddenly come back from the dead?
Ding, 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 the $64,000 question. Because I believe, and so do a lot of researchers on this, it's a perfect example of cause and effect. The government moved to make OxyContin and Vicodin painkillers harder to get. Well, people were hooked on them because there's no treatment facilities to get off of this stuff. So what did they do? It got harder to get, and it got way more expensive to get because the insurance companies weren't covering it like they used to. So they turned to heroin. Heroin now, it's cheaper to get a glassine packet of heroin than it is to buy a pizza pie or a bottle of wine, believe it or not. So in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there were kids who allegedly got hooked on OxyContin, falling out of their parents' overstuffed medicine cabinet, and then the parents weren't bringing home any more OxyContin. And so some industrious kid started dealing heroin out of the local McDonald's. All you had to do was drive up and say, I'd like a Happy Meal, please. And you got a Happy Meal box full of glassine packets of heroin.
Yikes. Diane Diamond, appreciate it. Thanks, Di.
Hey, anytime, my friend.
Molly McGee, a daughter of a friend of mine, she's a friend of mine too, has a group called FoundationToRecovery.org. Molly joins us. So, Molly, do you agree with Diane that is it about, are they going to heroin because they can't get the prescription stuff anymore?
Yes, thank you, Geraldo, so much for having me. And, you know, this is truly an epidemic, and what's going on is the prescription drug abuse has been taking its toll and providing, you know, all of the deaths that are happening. You know that 22.7 million Americans need drug or alcohol treatment and only 11% actually get it? And more than 2 million Americans abuse prescription drugs. And what's happening is the prescription drug abuse, they're going to heroin because it's cheaper. And overall, 44,000 Americans a year die from drug overdoses. So FoundationToRecovery.org's mission, what we're doing, is to provide funding for narcotic prescription drug addiction prevention and education and treatment. There needs to be more education about this. You know, like she was saying, the medicine cabinet, it starts right there. Kids can just walk right to their parents' medicine cabinet and see the drugs in the medicine cabinet, and it starts from taking one, and that's when it gets the ball rolling. And our goals are to help prevent addiction in the first place, to educate those who need help, and to save the lives of those individuals who become addicted to narcotic prescription drugs. By providing these recovery funds, regardless of one's inability to pay, and I'll tell you, these recovery funds, it takes more than treatment, like she was saying. You know, these opioid blockers, there's the...
You mean like methadone?
I'm sorry?
Like methadone.
It's the naltrexone. There's opioid blockers that are out, and the current treatment methods that support the multi-billion dollar drug treatment industry only achieve a 6% success rate. Treatment is only 6% success rate.
Yikes.
That's unreal.
I tell you what, Molly, hold on. I don't want to lose that thought. I want to talk more about it. And don't we have huge concentrations in Staten Island, right? Ocean County, New Jersey?
Well, up in the Bronx is the number one borough where you'll find the most heroin addicts and the most heroin deaths. And Staten Island's a very close second. Monmouth County, even across the tri-state, by far, far and away of any place in the tri-state, has the most heroin overdoses. In fact, you have these police officers are now carrying around Narcan, which is this nasal spray that will wake up an addict who's stopped breathing because they fall into this deep sleep and stop breathing.
Wow. James, how you doing? I got to put you on hold, but what's your headline?
Well, I just wanted to basically say that, you know, when it comes to the inner city community, there's not such a push for therapy or rehabilitation. It's more of just lock these people up.
Lock them up. Okay, James, you hold on. I want to talk to you, too. All right, Molly, you hold on. And your call is the new heroin nemesis. It's back.
Where New York comes to talk.
26 minutes after 11 o'clock, I am telling you from the bottom of my heart, as long as I've been in this business, I never expected that heroin would be the number two most important issue among primary voters in a place like the first in the nation primary, New Hampshire. It is whack to me. It is whack that smack is back. Whack. And what do you do about it? I mean, it has apparently it's jamming the prisons, right? They're busting people right and left for it. James was talking about that. A black man up in Rockland County, Molly McGee, a person who runs a foundation called Foundation2Recovery.org, are on the line with us. I want to do that. I just give you a heads up. Curtis and Kubi will be joining me in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk about that that settlement and what Trump said about the settlement in the Central Park Five case. But I want to stick on this heroin business now, this explosion. So, James, you say that that black men specifically treated differently. They go to jail behind their addiction. What would you prefer? What would be a more, in your expression or your opinion, a more effective way to deal with it?
Well, I'm just speaking from a standpoint of a fair playing ground, you know, a playing field. We, you know, from the time blacks have left the South in the early 1900s and started coming into the North, you had drugs coming into the cities where blacks were concentrated. You had drugs coming in from all over the planet. You had cocaine, you had heroin, you had alcohol coming in, guns. These things were put there for us. This is what I tell people about stop and frisk. Stop and frisk, it's not, you know, it's black people now, but just like the drugs aren't intended for the white community. But what happens in our community eventually is going to leak out into yours. So everything that you okay now, that you say, oh, it's their community, eventually it's going to get yours. And that's what we are seeing with the heroin epidemic. It's greed. This is why heroin is becoming so popular, because there's someone saying, we could profit off of this. We could make money off of it. Before, it was just off of the back of blacks. Now it's in your community.
So, James, what do you do? Just curious.
I work with troubled teens.
Oh, you do? And how's that? How's that going?
As far as what?
And, you know, in terms of having, are there more of them that are troubled? Or are you having success in turning them around?
Yeah, you know, every now and then you get one. But right now it's you try to talk to as many as you can. You know, it's help as many as you can. I enjoy doing it.
Do you get frustrated that you don't have enough resources to do it?
Sometimes it's frustrating, but you got to look past that.
Get any success stories?
Absolutely. We have tons of success stories where I work at.
All right, good. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks. So, thank Molly you. McGee, come back to you in Foundation2Recovery.org. You talked about how treatment is so much less expensive than incarceration. But how are you doing in terms of fundraising so you can get... Let me ask you another question. Go to 31, Chris. The first question I have is, does recovery work? You know, I have a 12-step program. What is it, Molly? Can you turn people? I always had a saying when I was a younger man, once a junkie, always a junkie. Is that not true?
Well, let me tell you something. First and foremost, the website, I just wanted to clarify, it's Foundation, the number two recovery.
Okay, Foundation 2, the number two recovery. Foundation, the number two recovery.org. Okay.
The term junkie is no longer associated with addiction. Okay, you have people, so that's why we need a national voice for this disease, similar like cancer and heart disease or diabetes. You know, I always ask myself this, why does it take a celebrity to overdose and it makes the news for a week and then it's pushed back under the rug? That's why, you know, this is going to be addressed by educating at the family level and young adults. And that's where we're starting and providing it. The treatment centers, the success rate, as I was saying, is 6%. That is crazy, 6%. And that's why we need something different.
But does your program, this 12-step work, what works?
12-step works. 12-step works. Meetings, but it's everything. These opioid blockers are going to be the next best thing. We're using disruptive and different...
Molly, got to go. Foundation, the number two, recovery. FoundationToRecovery.org.
39 minutes after 11 o'clock. We've been talking earlier on the program about Donald Trump's response when asked about the multi-million dollar settlement that New York doled out after the convictions of five men ages 14 to 16 at the time of the attack, the brutal, notorious rape of the jogger, the 28-year-old investment banking banker who was raped on 102nd Street in Central Park late at night jogging. The convictions never overturned, but the city settled anyway, despite the fact that another guy's DNA was found, the convictions not overturned. $41 million the five got. They were represented by William Kunstler and Ron Kuby. Famously, they didn't get a dime, by the way, even though there were a $41 million settlement. They worked on the criminal side of it. Kuby joins me now, as does his partner in crime, although in many ways ideological opposite, Curtis Sliwa. But Ron Kuby, what do you think about Donald Trump saying he would never have given these guys a dime if he were mayor, and that, didn't sit well, with the cops or the prosecutors involved in the case?
Let's just sort of back up. Kunstler and I represented Yusuf Salaam.
One of the five.
On his appeals. We did not represent them when their convictions were ultimately overturned. Their convictions were overturned.
They were never overturned.
Yes, they were.
That's not true.
Geraldo, I'm sorry.
They did time served.
No. They did their time, and most of them got out before their convictions were overturned, but their convictions, in fact, were overturned, and they were exonerated by the New York County DA's office.
I don't think that's okay. True. I don't think that's true. They got out on time served.
Let's just agree to disagree.
I'm not looking at a website. I'm looking at the Daily News.
In any event, they found out that Matias Reyes was, in fact, the person who committed the crime. The DA's office then reinvestigated the entire crime from beginning to end after they found Reyes's DNA, and they found the timelines didn't match. These guys, in fact, could not have committed the crime. And Donald Trump's, and look, that took a long time. But Donald Trump's role in that case was, before they were convicted of anything, before they'd even gone to trial, Donald Trump took out a full-page ad in the Daily News calling for the death penalty to be applied to them. Now, like so many things Donald Trump says...
That's when the victim was on the verge of dying.
Right. Like so many things Donald Trump says, of course, this could not happen. So I guess he gets some points for suggesting something that simply can't be done. You can't retroactively impose the death penalty. You can't execute 14-year-olds unless you happen to be Iran. There's a few little problems with it. But it helped. It didn't set the tone, because the tone had already been set. But it contributed mightily to the lynch mob mentality in New York City, that these young men were everything wrong with New York. They were feral, wild, wolf pack, all the savage animal stuff that was put in there, and really made their lives hell while they were in prison, and ultimately, basically destroyed them and their families for the whole time this went on, until ultimately they were, in my recollection,
exonerated. The agreement should not be construed as an acknowledgement that the convictions of these five plaintiffs were the result of law enforcement misconduct. On the contrary, our review of the record suggests that both the investigating detectives and the assistant district attorneys involved in the case acted reasonably, given the circumstances with which they were confronted.
Geraldo, you're a lawyer. Their convictions were overturned.
I don't know.
The
don't
DA's,
know
listen to me, and okay? The DA's office said they were not guilty when they settled the civil case, when the city, not the DA's office, when the city settled the civil case. They had standard boilerplate languages. We do not acknowledge that we did
so
wrong.
Jewish lawyers fighting one another. This is great. All right. I love it.
All right. So you didn't answer the political question. We got bogged down in this. Yeah. The political question is Trump exploiting this now?
He
brings it up now.
Of course he is. Everything that Donald Trump does and says is one ugly exploitation, appealing to the ugliest and nastiest and worst instinct in the Republican Party base, and they cheer him on by saying, finally, a guy who can tell the truth.
Okay,
if this were 50 years ago, he'd be saying, well, we got to get rid of the Jews. It's the Jews causing this problem.
Let's remember the period. Cheer him on. The Ed Koch years. There was a lot of wolfpacking. Remember at the end of the Diana Ross concert? The park was taken over by wolf packs. These were young minority men just rampaging through the park, making a spectacle of themselves and hurting a lot of people. They were swirling in the pool at 110th and Lenox. So young ladies would go in, women of color, and young men of color would go in, take their tops off, and start sexually assaulting them. The park was out of control. These young men were in the park. Obviously, they did not rape the Central Park jogger. But they were in there packing up. And there were a lot of people who got hit that night and a lot of people who got knocked down and a lot of people who got abused. Now, whether they did or they didn't do that, they've never answered the question of what the hell were they doing in the park that night? A simple answer. We were trying to enjoy the rustic look of the Rambles. Well, we were gay guys cruising for love in all the wrong places. They never gave an explanation of what were all of you guys plus others doing in the park that night?
That's right, because when you're black and you get falsely convicted of a crime, you have to explain what it is you were doing in the park, what it is you're doing on the street, what it is you're doing walking up the avenue, what it is you're doing walking around being a black person that we're afraid of.
Yeah, they were enjoying the rustic nature of Central Park.
What about Central Park today, Curtis?
Well, it's beginning to slip, and that's the problem. Crime is up, robbery's up over 100%, crime in general 28%. There have been two rapes. And the mayor, like in all other questions, says, oh, but it's we're the largest city in America, the safest city in America. He is so oblivious to what is going on everywhere in this city, not just in the hood, in the projects, but also in the crown jewel of New York City Central Park.
And I got to salute my partner for this. I really do. I don't often praise Curtis, but he and six geriatric overweight guardian angels and one new young one have been doing nightly patrols in the park. And do you know how effective they have been? Okay, all the time they've been patrolling, not a single crime. That shows their presence deters crime. Now, there hasn't been a single tiger attack either. Their presence deters tiger attacks. So I salute
so
you,
Ron, who
Curtis
always
Sliwa
says, let's look at the statistics. What do you say about the fact that robberies are up over 100%, crime in general 26% up in Central Park, two rapes where there were none last year? What are you suddenly saying about that, Ron? Okay,
what I'll say is this. Crime in Central Park.
Gay guys getting hit and robbed and beaten up in the Rambles.
Crime in Central Park is about a fifth of it what it was in the best year of Rudy Giuliani. But you had hung up your red beret a long time ago, man.
That's
it was
the best
five
you
times
can do,
worse.
Ron, right?
Yeah,
you
actually,
don't want to defend gay
good.
Guys. Gay guys should go in the park looking for love in all the wrong places,
Curtis,
and get beaten up and robbed.
I salute
homophobic
you.
Attacks.
I salute you. I think you guys are doing a great job. Now, could you do a better job if you focused, as the city has, in sort of the high-crime neighborhoods where most of the shootings are going
on? That's where we
are. Maybe. Maybe, but Central Park is a great place, and you at least
and
have a reason while you're there. You want to make sure that gay people don't get attacked, and I think that's beautiful.
You surprised by Trump so far?
No, not at all, because there's a lot of anger out there. Remember, all the non-politicians are doing well, not just Trump. Dr. Ben Carson, who couldn't be any more different. Nice, cool, calm, collected. He's doing well. Carla, she's doing well. This is an anti-political year.
Carly.
You are a professional politician. People hate you, despise you, loathe you, and rightfully so, because they're all spin doctors. They can't answer a question without thinking about it for 7 seconds.
And what does Trump surge mean to you?
It really means the same thing that it does to Curtis, honestly. I think particularly among the Republican base, which is the aging, white, angry ethnic base, also known as our audience, by the way, there is tremendous, tremendous anger that those people, however you want to describe them, a generation ago they were blacks, now they're Arabs and Muslims and Mexicans and Ecuadorians, you know, we are losing our great whiteness like we had in the 1950s, which was the best time in America, and Donald Trump, by God, is going to bring it back by talking tough.
Sounds
and
like
telling
Bernie
the truth.
Sanders crowd, aging white people.
What about,
you can't find a minority
and,
in Bernie
and
Sanders
and
crowd.
And black lives matter getting in the face of Bernie Sanders, Ron Kuby, getting in the face of Hillary Clinton?
Yeah,
what's the point?
The point, and I think it's actually a good thing. The point is to remind Hillary and Bernie Sanders, that just because African Americans overwhelmingly vote Democratic, because the alternative is just horrific, you really shouldn't take our issues, our lives for granted, as you've always done. There's a lot of stuff they could be advocating that they're not advocating.
That's Ron Kuby and Curtis Sliwa. It just seems to me that Black Lives Matter is so self-centered.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell the homeboys to just stop shooting other homeboys, because the lives that are getting killed, black lives, are by other young black males.
Curtis and Kuby, follow this program. Stay tuned. We ain't finished yet.
We have to do a show. We just did a show.
Another one coming.
No, we don't.
We'll be right back. Okay, here's what happened in the Central Park jogger 5 case. I got it now. Okay, so what happened is they were convicted. 4 of the 5 convictions were appealed, but the appeals were rejected. The convictions were in place. Then you had this guy, the Spanish guy, Matias Reyes, who is already serving a life sentence as a serial rapist. His DNA, he confesses to the crime. He said he did it, but he couldn't be prosecuted because the statute of limitations had already told. The guys had already been in jail. So what happened is the district attorney stopped short of saying the 5 were innocent. He said to the court that the convictions related to rape and the attacks be vacated. Vacated, not overturned, but vacated, in which it is as though no trial ever took place. Morgenthau, the DA, withdrew the charges and did not seek a retrial. So the convictions were vacated. So I think Kuby is half right. They weren't overturned. They were vacated as if the trial never took place, wasn't overturned in any reason for fact or law, nor did the DA ever admit that there was anything wrong with their conviction in their settlement. So for what it's worth, that's what happened.
Curtis would probably agree with that. He's half right.
He's half right.
Most days, yeah.
Half right most days. But, all right, enough about this case. Why don't I go down that road? Just because Trump was asked and he brought it up and it was such a big idea. I said this yesterday about New York City. We've had these little upticks in crime. It's true. But this is nothing compared to what's happening in other major cities. We are still the safest big city in the world, I think, certainly in the country. And to suggest otherwise, just because we don't like Bill de Blasio or his policies, I think is really incorrect.
You know, to take it a step further, you know, last year was the lowest murder rate on record. This year is on pace to be even lower than that.
Even lower.
Yeah.
And it's 1/14 the murder rate in Baltimore.
Now, that said, other crimes have gone up, have shot up.
Here.
Yeah, New York.
Like shootings.
Well, shootings have shot up, and some of those petty crimes, like the muggings, have shot up, and that's why the Guardian Angels are back in Central Park.
Well, I like geriatric though they may be, in Kuby's words, I appreciate them, and you have to feel secure when you see them. If you're like a chick jogging out there by yourself and you see a Guardian Angel, that's kind of a, I like that.
Yeah, of course.
I like that.
You know, no doubt my wife tells the story of how Curtis tried to walk her to work one day many years ago.
Uh-oh.
And the whole way hitting on her.
The whole way.
I've never told him that, actually. He's probably hearing it for the first time. But she said, no, I'm fine. I'm walking by myself. It's West 57th Street. There's no crime here.
The guardian angel protecting her from everyone except himself.
I should beat the living daylights out.
Go ahead. Go out there. Kick his butt. All right. We're going to watch as Noam now goes into the Curtis and Kuby studio and kicks some ass. Thanks for listening. Love you, everybody. See you right here tomorrow.